The topic of this workshop is an image of hope, body image. My name is Marie S. and I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'd like to introduce speakers for this workshop, Nicole C. and Kelsey R. So let's start the meeting with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I would like to introduce Kelsey R.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for continuing to sit in front of your computer and listen to people talk about themselves. I'm going to do my favorite thing, which is talk about myself to you. My name is Kelsey. I am located in Seattle, and I'm originally from Oakland, California. And it's really wonderful to see so many people here and also so many people from states that aren't necessarily in our region one. I think it's just such an amazing thing that we can expand our presence given our current way of attending. I've been in OA for 9.5 years. Actually, today, November 14th, is 9.5 years of abstinence for me. My abstinence birthday is May 14th, 2011. So this is the 6 month mark. And my abstinence is defined as refraining from binging, dieting, and purging with exercise, as well as some particular food items that don't work well for me. I identify myself as compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic, and those identities have evolved over time in OA as I've gotten more honest about my story and really what my relationship with my food and my body has looked like prior to coming into these rooms and also as I've been on my spiritual journey in this program. So I wanted to start just with what it was like. I came into OA when I was 20 and had hit a pretty deep bottom, not sure what would have happened had I continued to go on. I have made the decision to not share weight amounts, either high or low weight for myself, or you know how much weight I have gained or lost in the program. I understand that that's a huge way that folks connect to different people's recovery in this program, but given our topic of body image, I don't believe that sharing what's happened for me in my weight journey is necessarily kind of on topic. So I'm just going to share about my journey with kind of experiencing my body as the person who's living inside it and my journey of coming to a place of love and acceptance for my body. Regarding food behaviors, I definitely have experience of, you know, 6-7 hour binges that I had spent way too much money on. When I was in college, I maxed out my food allowance essentially through the dorms a third of the way through my year. I was a really intense binger. I would binge until I couldn't fit any more food into my body and would go to bed with my heart pounding from all the food that I had eaten and woken up in a cold sweat about 5 hours later just to go right back to the food. When I came into OA, I was facing being kicked out of my house because I had stolen so much food from my roommates. I was in trouble with the dean of students at my university because of some corners that I had manipulated and cut with my schoolwork because that was the best I could do. I had been, you know, so far in a diet program that I was on their national website as a success story and gained back all of the weight that I had lost on the diet program within about 4 months. So just to give you a sense of the extremes that I lived in coming into this program. My experience also is running so hard that my toenails were coming off because I was trying to exercise off everything that I had put into my body. My experience includes going on a study abroad to Tahiti and bringing a scale to weigh my body on as opposed to a laptop. Like that was the thing that I chose to put into the laptop sleeve in my backpack on my study abroad. You know, coming from a place of my hair falling out and feeling like I was going to faint and losing my period. So my anorexia and my exercise bulimia are at the extremes of damaging my body, and my eating disorder and compulsive overeating is at the extreme of basically getting close to putting myself out of house and home. So when I came into OA, I just wanted to stop eating. I was kind of past the point of, I hate my body so much. Let me, you know, eat in this way, or let me change the way that I'm doing this thing. I just like, I had totally lost it. And, you know, my sponsor had oriented me toward the concept of step zero, which is basically like, this has got to stop. And it has to come before I can't stop it. And that was where I was, you know, I could not stop binging, and I could not stop waking up every morning and wanting so badly to get back into my dieting, which really was anorexia and exercise bulimia, and not being able to, you know, and the time frame that I was capable of kind of leaning into that got shorter and shorter, you know, as I got closer to coming into my first meeting. And when I came into my first meeting, my goal was to basically just get a tighter hold on the diet that I was doing. That was my first food plan. And my sponsor was so gentle with me and let me define my food plan with whatever seemed to be the right thing in my mind at that time. And I quickly discovered that that was not going to be something that I could do. And alongside that, and this was where the miracle really started to slip in for me. And this was like February 2011. That was when I first came into OA. For some reason, I had the openness and the desire to set a website as my home screen, which is an outside issue. I'm not going to mention the website, but feel free to contact me if you're interested, that just showed different bodies that weren't the bodies that I was hoping my body to look like, but were more along the lines of what my body did look like. And, you know, bodies that I, in my disease, had judged or thought were not good enough. So that every time I opened a browser, there were these bodies. And this was part of my spiritual experience. And as I started to do my second step and my third step, my concept of a higher power, I selectively, you know, surrounded myself with these different ideas of beauty and of bodies. And little by little, I started to act as if. So my community was surrounded by people who embraced their body as it was and was not looking to change the way that they were living their life or dressing or whatever until they were, you know, a certain size or until they felt a certain way about their body. And, you know, this was over a year or so, but I eventually got into burlesque and just found all of these ways to be in my body exactly as it was and just really celebrate it. And a lot of this, as I said, was act as if. Some of this I was not, you know, immediately comfortable with. Or, you know, I would oscillate between feeling comfortable and then wanting to go back to hiding and feeling comfortable and wanting to go back to hiding. But I can tell you, like, there are pictures of me in early abstinence where I am just like happier than I was for like a second when I was on that website of that diet program. You know, there were moments where I was under goal weight, this diet, you know, and I was like, sizes that I never thought I would be and all of that. And I still thought that I was, you know, that my body still had so much work that needed to be done, that I was not done, that I was never going to be done. And I think that was part of the spiritual, you know, experience that I started to have in this program, was that just like the food is never going to be enough for me, there's never going to be enough weight loss for my disease. There's never going to be enough whatever it is that I'm trying to carve my idea of my body around in my disease. There was a time where I was at a Body Worlds exhibit at a fair. That's that exhibit where they have like different parts of the body available for you to look at. And I remember reading that the liver is 2 pounds. And this was like 2 years into recovery. And my first thought in my brain was, okay, so if my liver is 2 pounds, I can't weigh less than 2 pounds, right? And that was a genuine initial thought that I had. And I just think that that's such a great way for me to illustrate the way that my disease, it's wanting more, 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 or in, you know, the body image sense, less, 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 less. And, you know, as I started to lean into the truth about my disease, this was a year and a half into program, I started identifying as anorexic and exercise bulimic, because I watched how there were certain elements of my disease that were, you know, afraid to eat certain things because of the whatever content on them. I was really afraid of like what might happen to my body. And this was all coming from a place of body hatred and body obsession. I had to start learning how to eat based on what my hunger levels were. And so I redefined my food plan. And again, this is just my experience. This is what has worked for me. But I redefined my food plan based off of my hunger levels and let myself eat every single time I was hungry, whether it was 20 minutes after I had just had a meal or a longer period of time than I normally would have gone. I worked with a nutritionist and really got aligned with what signals my body was telling me. And then once I was stable and understanding that, I got into doing the step work again. So this was my second time through the steps, specifically on my body image. And that was when things really started to shift for me. My step one in that work through the steps involved things as honest and uncomfortable as when I'm sitting or when I'm driving, I take my pants and I pull them up over my tummy. And the reason why I do that is because it tricks me into thinking one thing about my body versus another. And I, for a couple months, committed to not doing that, no matter how uncomfortable it was, because I was calling myself on all of these tics, all of these behaviors, all the body checking in the mirror, all of the ways that I would pinch my arm or pinch my belly or just all of these berating, hiding, you know, dishonest things that I would do with my body and truly abstaining from doing them. And what that forced me to do was to sit with my body exactly as it was. When I got to my fourth step in that time through the steps, instead of writing people as resentments, I wrote body parts. And I did the entire fourth step around my thighs, my arms, my nose, all of these things about my body that I would regularly berate or hate or wish that they were different. And then my ninth step through that process, and again, this was all going through it with a sponsor's help, was to stand naked in front of the mirror and talk to my body through God's words. And what came out of that journey through the steps for me were two fundamental understandings. One was that if my higher power had given me a backpack and said, hey, carry this through your life, this is going to be what is going to hold your life in it, I probably wouldn't say this backpack is tattered or it's too worn or I don't like the color of it or it's too heavy or there are too many zippers or what have you. But that's exactly what I do with my body, right? I have this vessel to carry my being, my soul through the world. And I've taken on the authority to decide what it should look like, to berate it, to nitpick it, all of these things. And so that was one realization I had coming out of the steps. The other one was something that my sponsor was able to mention as she was listening to my fourth step. And this is part of the reason why I think going through the steps is so important to do with another person. Was she noted that every single time I've turned to negative body obsession, it's been when I've been using it to get out of a place of discomfort, confusion, fear, anxiety. And she said, that's basically God calling you on the phone. And that has never left me. This was probably 6 years ago. And she said, you know, when you notice the body obsession coming up, I want you to think that it's God picking up the phone and saying, hey, Kelsey, how are you? What's going on? And I really started to lean into that. And what I noticed was that when body obsession came up for me, and I was willing to just check in with my higher power, there was always something that was pushing it. So just like the food, my body obsession, my body image is a symptom of my disease. It's this spiritual offshoot. And I can't address the symptom. I can't address the sniffle and the sneeze without addressing the deeper disease, right? Without addressing the cold or the virus or whatever it is that's making me sniffle and sneeze. And so through doing the steps and continuing to do the steps and continuing to sponsor chronic dieters, anorexics and bulimics, I have come into a place of much more deep body acceptance and reverence, to be honest. So what it's like now, I'll just say in my last couple minutes, is I continue to eat when I need to, when my body tells me I'm hungry. And for better or worse, I stop when I'm full. I'm not perfect at that. And, you know, that's all part of the journey. And I exercise when I feel like it, and I don't push myself to exercise, and I, you know, do things that really make me feel good. And, you know, as my weight fluctuates, I don't stress about it. I remember saying once to somebody in program, if my pants still fit, then my solution is the same. And she said to me, well, if your pants don't fit, is your solution any different? And the answer is no. My solution is the same. And it's these 12 steps. It's deep connection with my higher power. And it's reverence for this vessel that my higher power has given me to carry through the world. So I live today in absolute joy and appreciation and reverence for my body. And it's a result of the 12 steps. So thanks for having me. And I think that's my time. So with that, I would like to hand it off to my dear friend from Seattle, who I've had many a long drive and conversations about body image with, Nicole.
Thank you, Kelsey. Before I get started, I just want to let everyone know I acknowledge that my video is imperfect and that there is a little lag time for my audio. My higher power gifted me with a wonderful new home, and it's in the forest, and I have satellite internet, and this is what happens. I am so grateful to be here with all of you today. And Kelsey, I want to say thank you, not just for introducing me, but for that amazing share. I'm going to talk about the steps and body image as well. And I just need to acknowledge, and I'm not breaking anonymity because Kelsey just told you, the whole reason that I worked the steps around body image was because of one of those long car drives where we were talking about the solution. And Kelsey shared that she worked the steps around body image. And I was like, that's what I need to do that. We all need to do that. It's amazing. I wanted to start by, I made some random notes. If you notice me look down, I will address these things in no particular order, but I wanted to start by saying that I suffer from body dysmorphia. I have no idea what I actually look like. I used to think prior to recovery that my perception of my body was literally one-to-one equal to my worth. And so however I thought about myself, about my body, was how I thought I had or really didn't have value in the world. And one of the many, many ways that I have been dishonest with myself, that I've deceived myself through my disease. A practice that I started actually prior to recovery, and it's interesting to note that I started it prior to recovery because I started it in a place of self-will. But a practice that I started prior to recovery was doing just 10, 15 minutes of yoga every morning. And my intention when I started that practice was to, you know, I was going to force myself into my body. I was aware that I lived here, and I was going to force myself into my body. I was going to force myself into loving my body, and I was going to change it all. Well, as you may know, self-will doesn't go very far. It certainly didn't for me. And the way that that practice has evolved is really amazing. And actually, it was over the course of a year, I always go to the Seattle GSI Winter Retreat. I've been going since my first year in program, which I should mention will be 6 years ago come February. And it was at, I think, my third winter retreat. I was, you know, really in this, I'm going to make myself love myself. I'm going to change how I think about my body. And the speaker at that retreat was sharing about intimacy and food. And I had this, and I've had many of these moments in recovery, in program, where someone shares something and it touches a part of my spirit, of my soul, and I just crack open and I just start to cry because it's something that was there, but maybe I wasn't ready to look at it. And something that I have learned through my recovery experience is that if my higher power reveals something to me, it will be healed. It will be healed through this program, through the 12 steps. And I had this moment at that retreat where I realized, oh my gosh, I've been in self-will around my body image. And I made this little shift. So when I do my yoga routine, it's part of my spiritual practice every morning. And when I do it, I am sort of saying a mantra in my head as I'm doing it. And it used to be, before this moment of awakening, I will inhabit my body mindfully, gratefully, and lovingly. And as I moved through each pose, that was what I said. And after that moment of realization that I had been suffering in self-will, and that was why I actually hadn't grown spiritually in any way, I shifted. And what I say now every morning when I do my yoga routine is, and I say every morning, but we all know I'm imperfect, right? But more often than not, what I say now when I do that yoga practice is, please help me. Please help me inhabit my body mindfully, gratefully, and lovingly. And sometimes I will go into all of the ways, like, of what it feels like to be a mindful inhabitant of this body, listening to my body when it says it's hungry, listening to my body when it says it's tired, listening to my body when it says that it needs to breathe fresh air or go to the bathroom or get a drink of water, which are all things that I have been self-abandoning around because I will work compulsively and abandon my body. I will do lots of things, people pleasing, overworking. I do lots of things compulsively, which lead to me abandoning my body. And so I set this intention and I make this conscious contact in the morning through my yoga practice where I want to inhabit my body mindfully. And lovingly, of course, is to take the action. When I am being mindful in my body and of its needs, then the loving action is to care for and meet those needs. And gratefully acknowledging that this body is the physical platform for everything that I experience in this lifetime. And gratitude for the hell that I have put this body through. And yet it carries me. It continues to carry me, allowing me to experience everything. And so that was a pretty amazing and profound shift that I am very grateful for, and which happened directly as a result of this program. I also wanted to just briefly touch on, before any of that even happened, you know, my issues with my body image have been with me my entire life. And even when once I had come into recovery, but I hadn't really started to address body image yet, I was aware that my distorted perception of myself and my value and my worth in relationship to my body and what I thought it looked like were things that were keeping me isolated. And so I had an experience, and this is 100% higher power gifted, where I was supposed to go to an event with friends and I didn't have anything to wear. I mean, I really felt that way. I felt like I looked disgusting and everything. And I had this moment where I sat down on the edge of my bed and almost tantrum-like said to my higher power, if you want me to go and be out in the world and be with these people, then you need to dress me. And then I was given an inspired thought of what to wear. And I have done that, not quite as like tantrum-y, but I ask my higher power, like, if I feel my self-judgment creeping in, especially around being out in the world and being in connection and in community and, you know, relating it to, I have nothing to wear. I'm not, they won't miss me anyway, but it's attached to that idea of I won't look the way I'm supposed to look to fit in the world. I will ask my higher power to please dress me. I ask it more kindly now. And I wanted to talk a little bit about working the steps around body image, because another thing that has been revealed to me through recovery is that anytime there is something that is in the way of my joy, happiness, and freedom. In other words, in the way of my ability to connect with a loving higher power, it's something I need to work the steps around. And so I will forever be grateful to Kelsey for sharing that I could do that. I immediately went to my sponsor and was like, can we please work the steps around body image? And she and I actually ended up working the steps together around body image, because she had never worked the steps around body image. And that was really an amazing experience to share with someone. And, you know, I am powerless. I am powerless over my self-perception, as I have revealed already. I am powerless over my weight. I will also mention that as part of my abstinence, I do not weigh myself. I do not weigh myself ever, not even when I go to the doctor. I do not weigh myself because there's no information there for me that I need. My higher power has made it very clear that that is not, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. I'll weigh food, but I will not weigh my body. I'm also powerless over my size. I'm powerless over the shape of my arms, the shape of my legs, the shape of everything. I'm powerless over it. And I'm also, speaking of none of my business, I'm also powerless over other people's perception of me, whether they are finding me aesthetically pleasing or grotesque. I'm powerless. I have no power over that. It is out of my control. And, you know, as I worked through step two and came to believe that a loving power greater than me could relieve me of my self-obsession and my compulsion to self-destruct around body image, my heart filled in a way that it hadn't. And I had already worked the steps a number of times in a number of programs. I want to pause here to just acknowledge that I continue to work the steps around body image on a daily basis. When I got to step three, this was a really profound moment for me, taking step three around body image, because as I said when I opened, I was so tied into the idea that my worth and my weight were synonymous, like they went together. And when I surrendered my body, my weight, my size, my shape, my perception of myself, others' perception of me, what society tells me, what media tells me, when I surrendered all of that in step three, and I took the first tiny steps at acting as if I am someone who does inhabit her body mindfully, gratefully, and lovingly. It was amazing. There were a lot of tears on a lot of days, and I have so much gratitude to everyone in program who supports me, but also that I have non-program friends who just supported me incredibly through this. It was really hard. It was really hard. And through my work in the rest of the steps, you know, step four, as I acknowledged all my resentments about my body, about the messages from society, about things people had said to me throughout my life about my body, I just felt it all. Again, this wasn't the first time I had worked the steps. And so I knew and I experienced and I felt that freedom of I was being unburdened. And then, of course, sharing it. And because my sponsor and I were working the steps simultaneously, sharing my fifth step and then receiving hers was just an incredibly beautiful experience. I want to say that in terms of steps 6 through 12, I keep coming back. I mean, I keep coming back to all of it. Like I said, I work the steps around body image every single day. some of the things that I do, because for me, step six is all about loving self-acceptance. No matter what I'm working the steps around, step six is for me about loving self-acceptance. That is how I get ready to be relieved of my character defects. And then, of course, you know, the relief that comes when my heart is open and willing to be relieved. And so some of the things that I do to be engaged in the steps on a daily basis around body image are I set self-care timers on my phone, and I set them for specific times of day when I know that I need to check in at this time, because if I haven't eaten by then, it's definitely time for me to stop working or stop whatever I'm doing. And I need to check in with my body. I work with small children, and when I am with them, I am so great about body care and body image, because I am very mindfully modeling for them the kind of self-love and self-nurturing that I wish had been modeled for me, but which I am learning to do through this program for myself and through what I see others in this program show me through their experience, strength, and hope. And so I set these self-care timers and I check in with my body. One other little story that I want to share before my time is up is that I had an experience almost 2 years ago now. I was on my way home from work. I used to walk to the park where I worked, and I was walking home, and it had been a big week. I had really used my body a lot that week, and it was the middle of winter, so it was also cold and wet and rainy, and I was really aware of my legs, and they were feeling strong and muscular, like they had been used. They were sore also. That was partly why I was aware of them. And I thought to myself, thank you, legs. Thank you. And then I felt this feeling grow. This was not anything done consciously. This was a 100% gift. I was completely relieved of body obsession and filled with a sense of unconditional love for my body, a feeling that I have not had ever experienced. And I'll say that I haven't fully inhabited it the way I did that day since then either, but that's okay, because for me, and you know, today we're sharing the hope. For me, there is incredible hope in the fact that I could even experience a moment, let alone hours, of a sense of unconditional love for my body. I did not even know that was possible. It was amazing. And I do come back to it, right? And the last thing that I want to share, because I think my time is probably getting pretty close, is that when I notice, because we are, you know, it's not like I work the steps around something, reveal the character defects, and then they're gone. Character defects come up. They come up. More is always being revealed. I am always growing and learning. And through the steps, I am always continuing to have a greater spiritual experience. And so when I notice my body obsession coming up, the first thing I do is pray for relief from self-obsession. The next thing I do is something self-loving for myself. And sometimes it's as simple as stopping to go to the bathroom or getting myself some water or making a cup of tea or making my bed or having a hot bath. The list goes on and on. I do something self-loving. And then the last thing I do is I do something joyfully of service to others, because that is the number one way for me to be relieved of self-obsession, is to be joyfully of service to others. And I will just close by saying that I am grateful that I got to be joyfully of service. I hope that I was joyfully. Well, I was definitely joyful. I hope I was of service for you today. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Nicole. So we'll now open the floor for a question and answer session. So by Judy B. I love both your talks and would like to work the steps around body image. Are there sponsors who would be willing to do this?
Well, I'm a sponsor. I'm full right now, but I do have sponsees who I could connect you with who have completed the steps as well and are working with folks. But I'm out there in the world, and I'm sure there are many more as well. When I worked the steps on body image, My sponsor didn't tell me to do it because she had done it. It was kind of like a, wow, you really seem to be powerless over this. Why don't you work the steps on it? And it was such a deep issue for me that it was truly like a full 12-step experience. It wasn't just like an afternoon of writing or what have you. But I'm sure other people have done it as well. But any sponsor who has done the steps can walk any sponsee through the steps.
Okay. Chris G asks, sometimes I'm afraid to say that I weigh more than when I came into OA, even though I was not underweight when I came in, and I've been abstinent for 35 years. I came in as a fairly active 19-year-old, and I'm now a disabled 59-year-old. My illness and medications can cause bloating and excessive hunger signals. How can I stop being mean to myself about this? Oh, she's about 20 pounds. Chris is about 20 pounds more.
I will respond first. I just want to say that, you know, just going back to what I had shared in my own experience, where I tried to do it through self-will, and it wasn't until I shifted and started asking my higher power to help me, And another prayer that I will use is, higher power, thank you for loving me exactly as I am. Please help me to love myself. So my answer very simply is through surrender and asking your higher power for help. Chelsea, I don't know if you want to add anything more to that.
I completely agree. I think that it's the deep shift is measured against the fact that it's there no matter what my body is capable of doing or not capable of doing or what size it is or anything, right? The deep shift is the body acceptance within. To just piggyback off of what Nicole shared, when I did my third step through this, I took the third step for in the big book and I rewrote it in my own words, specifically around body image, and made that my third step prayer, which really helped me to, at the risk of a pun, embody that concept of a higher power that's personal to me and also personal to what I'm working the spiritual program around. So, and my sponsor also tells me, you know, if you believe that a higher power can take care of this problem the same way that the higher power took care of the food problem that you thought was so insurmountable and impossible, are you willing to lean into that?
Do you think that one can get healing around body image when one is still very overweight?
My answer is the same, which is that, you know, it's that deep inner place. I didn't talk that much about my weight, but I've been all over the board with my weight during my time in OA. My weight has been, you know, the same for the past 6 years or so, which I think is also the result of a spiritual experience. But, you know, I've gained and lost over 200 pounds by the time I was 20 coming into this program. And it, again, for me, it's that deeper inner knowing that, you know, my body is as aligned with my higher power as my spirit is.
I will echo that. And I will also say that the short answer is absolutely. Your body size does not equate to your worth. It's a story. It's dishonesty in thinking that it does. And so I mentioned that I do not weigh myself. I haven't weighed myself for about, I think it's been 3 years now. In my first 3 years in program, I did. And one of the gifts that I had been given in program, when I came in, I don't usually talk about weight either, because as I've already mentioned, it's part of my disease and it's like getting sucked into the obsession around it. But I released about 15 pounds and then I maintained the same weight, which is something I had never done in my life for 3 years. I maintained the exact same weight. And to my knowledge, I think I really have no idea because I don't weigh myself, but it has nothing to do with it. It has nothing. The amount of having recovery around body image is not related to your size at all.
Thank you. Kelsey, thank you for your share. I don't live in Seattle, but my friends do. Their daughter is anorexic. She's in a program at Children's Hospital. She's not getting better, but the parents don't want her in 12 steps because they think it's too competitive and unhealthy for teens. Are there resources for anorexics I could tell them about? Are there meetings that are healthy and not competitive?
I'm just going to start by inviting you to contact me offline. I want to stay true to not mentioning any outside resources, but feel free to connect with me. Seattle, we don't have any anorexic bulimic focused meetings that I know of, but I guess that's also kind of the benefit of the scenario that we're in right now, which is anybody can attend any meeting. And there are a lot of AB focused meetings in our fellowship. And the word competitive, I think, is a really interesting word to use. That's not my experience in OA, but I can certainly see that could come up in some fellowships. But yeah, feel free to contact me. My phone number is in my name in Zoom, and we can talk more.
Do you have any thought on OA's statement of abstinence, including the words, while working on or maintaining a healthy body weight?
I do. Let's see, how do I want to say this? There are a lot of sources out there that will tell you definitively what a healthy body weight is, but I would like to acknowledge that nowhere in any of the OA literature does it define that. And so if a person like myself finds themselves hung up on what that means based on anything outside myself, and I'm not saying that there aren't, let me step back. If my higher power guides me to a resource, that's one thing. But if I am trying to define something based on anything outside, there's going to be a level of dishonesty there. And I really appreciate that OA doesn't define what a healthy body weight is. I think that a lot of people have an idea of what they think it is, but they're not my higher power. I'm grateful for that. Kelsey, what would you like to add?
Such a great question. It's a question that I feel very careful answering as well. I was in OA when this was added to the definition of abstinence. I think it was in like 2012. And I do remember there being a lot of conversation around it. As somebody who has restricting on their side of experience as well, I think for me, the most needing to personally interpret phrase in that line is the working on, because part of my disease tells me that there's always something that I need to work on, and that it's a work on, you know, as opposed to a surrender to. So I think, like many things in the big book that, you know, were written for a different audience, I need to translate them so that they're more applicable to me. And this is a line that for myself, you know, when I think of what that line is trying to say with healthy body weight, I might translate it to surrendering toward a balanced mental weight, right? Because for me, it's really that heaviness that I carry with myself and all my judgments and self-berating. It's more for me a surrender toward freedom than working on really anything at all.
Thank you. Margaret T. asks, have you considered writing some guidelines that others can use to work the steps using body image?
I'll start and then I'll hand it off to you, Nicole. I work full-time and I'm in a grad program right now, so my bandwidth is about this big, but I think it's such a great idea, Margaret. And if you wanna join the good force, please reach out to us. But I think it's such a wonderful idea and such a great reminder too that this is a we program, right? We only have what we've created for each other and ourselves.
Yeah. I will echo that in terms of my own capacity to take on such a project right now. But that said, yeah, why not? Let's do that. And Margaret, join us. Let's all get together and do that.
Kathy R. added at the end that she's new. She loved both your shares so much. Did you experience depression when you first came in? And what did you do to get out of negative thoughts?
Welcome, Kathy. I I'm experiencing depression right now. So I'm just going to start with that because this is a program of truth and sharing. I'm in a depression cycle right now. I know that my peppiness and like bubbliness doesn't make it seem that way. I've been super down the past couple weeks and in a lot of negative thoughts. And I think one thing that program has given me that, and yes, I did experience depression and was getting outside help for the first couple of years that I was in program. And one thing, just to give you a little bit of hope that recovery has given me, is the ability to not directly, and this is body image work too, to not directly identify with every thought that I have. So I've been able to watch myself in depression right now and say, that's the depression. That's not me. And that is such a huge gift of recovery. You'll hear maybe in meetings that, every year you have is a second of a beat before you do something after having a thought. And so I have 9.5 seconds of just detachment of, okay, I'm having this negative thought, or I'm having this self-judgment, and that's not me. It's just a thought, which is such an incredible, incredible gift that I could have never imagined getting out of this program. So hang in there. Please keep sharing and reaching out with folks. We all need each other. I know depression is really tricky, especially right now. We're all isolated, but give me a call, Kathy. I'd love to talk with you.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I want to say welcome as well. And also, please keep coming back. And I also want to celebrate that you were willing to put it out there, to put the question out there. And yes, is my answer. I came into this program deeply depressed, and I am actually coming out of, we'll see. I'm hopeful that I'm coming out of a cycle of depression right now. And what works for me to, similar to what Kelsey was saying, when I can be the loving observer of myself, of my life, and of my mind, most importantly, it allows me to sort of be in that space of, okay, I'm thinking again. That's my brain. And the things that break that for me are taking a sacred pause, talking to my sponsor, doing outreach to partners in recovery. And I would like to offer, my number is on the screen. Please reach out anytime. You can call or text. You are not alone.
Thank you. This is from Donna, who is also new to OA. I really enjoyed both your talks. I too am interested in finding a sponsor to help with body image. I appreciate any help direction. Thank you. And you already answered that, so.
Welcome, Donna.
I'll go on to the next.
Welcome.
This is from Cece. Hi, Kelsey. How do you address your physical recovery from exercise purging? Do you have a sponsor that helps you with that? Thank you for sharing your story and honesty.
Thanks, Cece. And I see that it's time to end, so I'll answer this shortly. My first year in recovery, I actually didn't exercise because I had to break the addiction that I had or the reliance that I had on exercise. And then I slowly added it in with only doing activities that I genuinely wanted to do. And sometimes I would have to leave in the middle if I started body obsessing. So I had kind of an action plan around it. But again, would be happy to talk with you if you want to reach out to me.
This next one is for Nicole from Linda. Nicole, thank you for your wonderful testimony. Does your acceptance and appreciation for your body translate into being physically healthier? Thank you.
Oh, that's such a great question. And I don't know how long we have. I saw the sign saying that we needed to wrap up. I will say briefly, yes, and please call me and we can talk more about it.
Actually, I got my times off. You guys have some more time.
Okay. Sure. What do you say to people that criticize your body, like a beautician who tells you they're leaving your hair a little longer in the back to cover your fat, or the trainer who tells you your bat wings are still moving after you stop the exercise?
Get out, fire them, leave them. Ellen, it's such a great question. Thank you so much. I was just talking with a sponsee last night about responding to comments like that with what she might want to hear from that person within her own self. And again, that goes back to kind of that acting as if that Nicole and I both talked about. I know that when people say things, it feels to me like it's something that they're saying to me about me. And that's as simple as it is. But often when people say things, just like when I say things to other people, it's often about my own stuff and my own judgment and my own things that are really just about me, because I am so self-centered. And the majority of things that I say to people are really just my own world and my own crazy and my own stories. But you know, for me personally, I really did have to curate my community, and I had to curate what media I was consuming and things like that to get those messages out of my space. And then as I developed kind of more, I guess, ability to set boundaries, being able to say those things to people. But that took a long time, and I just had to take all that stuff out of my community and who I was allowing to be part of my life and my world.
I want to echo what Kelsey said, and I want to add what I had mentioned earlier about the idea that what other people think about me, about my body, it's none of my business. It's none of my business. And just to sort of reiterate the point that Kelsey made about it not actually being about you, even in program, sometimes someone might say something about my body, and I have to remember, or about my food, or about something, and I have to remember, it is not about me. It is about them. It is about that person. It is about their issues and their ideas, and they have a higher power who can help them with it. It's not my business. It's not my business. And I will also say, heck yeah, to curating the people in your community. Surround yourself with people who love you exactly as you are.
The last question that we have time for, I'm going to say we only have like time for a minute answer. I'm anticipating seeing relatives over the holidays, and this is usually results in unwanted commentary on my body. Any ideas how to approach people not in program and have strong opinions?
I have a family member, my father actually, who has been a big part of my exercise bulimia, just a lot of comments really supporting that behavior my entire life. And I think for me, the thing that has been the most important is considering what would make me feel safe first, and then thinking about what boundary I would need to set, because sometimes it's leaving and sometimes it's saying something to the person, but it really does depend for me on what my relationship with that person is and where our relationship is headed and what is really going to allow me to feel safe, because ultimately boundaries are about keeping me safe, not controlling the other person's behavior. So whether I need to leave or say something or do something different, I need to continue to remember that it's about my own well-being and my own safety.
We are out of time. There are two noteworthy recovery resources available in Region 1, virtual sponsors. Region 1 offers a matchup service for virtual sponsoring. Check out the website at oaregion1.org. And Region 1 also maintains a speaker list. How about bringing your experience, strength, and hope to a new meeting in Region 1? Add your name if you're willing to speak, or you can request a copy of the speaker list. We'd like to thank all speakers and everyone who attended this workshop. We'll now close the meeting with a serenity prayer. God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you for your service.